every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona, for another beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, second Saturday of the month. 8 o'clock, our outdoor living hour, means we're talking trees. ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower's in studio with us from Save a Tree, and there's already callers lining up, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, or you can email info@rosieonthehouse.com. If you need to send a picture for a little plant or insect identification, you can send it there. And John, we always have a tree of the month, and we've got our tree to do. But, you know, there's already people complaining about the heat and reading the Farmer's Almanac today. We're still 71 days away from summer.
Technically. Technically 71 days away from, the summer solstice, right? June 21st. Yeah, let's talk about spring. Can we do that?
Let's do it.
Can we just enjoy this while we have it? Yeah, we just know what's coming around the corner. But it's a really cool time of year, where you have got your heater on in your truck in the morning, and then you've got your AC on in the afternoon. But I like that. It's a wonderful time of year. These have been some great mornings, and afternoons are starting to heat up a little bit, getting to those low 90s.
And watching the plant life this time of year is a lot of fun. The ash trees around our house always seem to be the first ones to bloom out, and the number of bees that they attract just magically come out of nowhere.
Yeah, the pistache trees, our mulberry. I had my little grandson in my arms last night and pulled a mulberry leaf off, and sure enough, there's the beginnings of those little mulberries are starting to form, and not quite full yet. But yeah, that's sort of our sign that spring is around, when that mulberry tree starts to leaf out and our pistache still is completely bare. Some of you probably have some pistache that are starting to leaf out, but just depending on the part of town you're in. And
ours completely exploded about a week ago. There was nothing, and then it was like overnight, just everything on the pistache trees exploded. And it's got that nice, vibrant red. They call it the red push pistache because it
that first push
the first
is,
push is red, so you've got a red and green tree from last year's growth is green. You were mentioning mulberry. I had ours all perfectly trimmed up and ready for the summer, and the leaf weight is so heavy. The limbs are dragging down into the walking area. I've got to go back out and retrim.
Yeah.
And even the evergreens, like we have some live oaks, just how much greener they have turned just in the last week. And the amount of birds that are suddenly and back in on our property. When you walk outside in the middle of the day and it sounds like you're at the aviary at the zoo.
Yeah,
Our fig leaves, I mean, it could close Adam and Eve for 100 years right now.
Yeah, we're looking out the windows here at some beautiful Palo Verdes. A lot of you are seeing those, the first hint of those, that floral display of all the Palo Verdes across town. And our tree of the month this month, if you want to call it a tree, is the Ocotillo. And, Romy was saying, or Rosie was saying earlier that out in New River, that was sort of their first sign of spring, was that beautiful red bloom that the Ocotillos put on. And this is their time of year to show off their beautiful color. And yeah, the Ocotillos bloom from about February through, about April. They can actually go further into the year, but that's sort of their prime time.
For all intents and purposes, it's Arizona. I think we can classify Ocotillos technically a tree.
Well, it's interesting. What is a tree? By definition, what makes a tree not a shrub? And there's some very rough definitions, but the one that we kind of go by is that a tree is a freestanding plant that grows to a height of 15 feet without any assistance. So if it can grow to 15 feet in height without being propped up or supported on a trellis, it's technically a tree. And so saguaros are trees. Palms, are, although they're technically a grass, they qualify as a tree in a rough sense. But then you have these, you know, these the genus and species can vary. Interestingly, Ocotillo is our tree of the month because it's just such a, you know, classic, iconic plant of the Southwest, and it's they're just amazing, dramatic landscape trees. But it's really not a cactus. Many people refer to Ocotillo as one of our many cacti, but it's really a different species, a different genus of plants. It's a Fociaria. It's related to the Bujum tree. It's kind of a semi-succulent. If you look at it very closely, they're a softer tissue. Although they do have thorns on them, they're a little more pliable than your typical cactus thorn, and they are a little less damaging if you bump into one or rake your leg against one if you're out hunting, as we are quite often, and run into them. You don't want to run into a hedgehog, you know, or a saguaro or something like that. Then you're going to get a nice poke. But Ocotillos are pretty harmless. You can actually kind of grab them with your hand just gently, and you'll see that those thorns are a little bit more pliable. They're not going to poke through your skin as easily.
And they're really hard to grow and transplant.
Well, they tend to be. You know, it's interesting. They transplant them with very few roots attached. So you just have to make sure you don't overwater them and drown them. But you need some regular watering, and you might need to support them for a little while until they can get established. You know, prop them up until they can establish some new roots and anchor them in the soil. But yeah, the mortality rate is pretty high with transplanted Ocotillos. I was reading a little bit about them, and I came across a passage saying that they're easy to transplant. Well, that hasn't been my experience. Maybe some of you, our listeners, have had a better experience than I have, but we've had about a 50% mortality rate in trying to transplant them. It's interesting, too, because they only bloom when there's available water. And so quite often you'll see an Ocotillo in the landscape and you're not sure if it's dead or alive because it's when the water resources are low, it'll just simply drop its leaves and it'll photosynthesize through the bark of the plant. The chlorophyll in the bark is enough to sustain the plant through dry periods. And then when there's enough water, it'll put on some more leaves, usually a couple of sets of leaves a year. And then when it's gets a little drier, it'll drop those leaves kind of as a protective mechanism, because when a plant has leaves on it, one of the byproducts of photosynthesis is a water vapor is escaping from those leaves. So as a means of conserving water, often plants will drop their leaves to kind of hold on and weather through until they get another rainfall. So Ocotillos are interesting. You sometimes don't know if they're dead or alive because you have to kind of go up to them and look at them carefully and see if the branches are pliable. If they are dying back, they'll start dying back from the tips. And if the tips are dead, you might want to just cut those tips back to live wood and then hope the tree will recover from there.
The Ocotillo, our tree of the month, with John Eisenhower. We've also got our monthly to-do as it relates to our tree care and our ongoing plant husbandry?
Yeah, we have talked the last couple of months about the time to do radical cutbacks of your shrubs. And while February and March are probably the best time to do that, April's not too late, but it is getting to the point where if you're going to do some heavier pruning of your shrubs or even some of your trees, you want to be sure you do that soon in the next couple of weeks, because once the hot weather comes, it's hard for those shrubs to recover. We usually try to give them a little bit of time to respond to that heavy pruning before the real hot weather comes, because that new juvenile growth that emerges after a severe pruning can be very, subject to sunburn. So you want to try to give a chance, a plant a chance to recover. If you don't, if you like, you start making heavy cutbacks in May or June, it's quite often you'll lose those shrubs altogether because the intense heat is just too much for that new growth to emerge and be sustained. And of course, the same applies to your deciduous trees. You know, as the temperatures increase, the amount of pruning should decrease on your deciduous trees and those trees that we normally prune during the winter. Conversely, with your evergreen trees and your more vigorous trees like your eucalyptus, mesquites, sumacs, your olives, we can go ahead and be pruning those pretty regularly from now right into the summer months, because those trees can replace that foliage pretty quickly. And don't worry so much about your evergreens. It's your deciduous trees, your frost-sensitive trees, your ornamental trees like your citrus. Those you want to start reducing the amount of foliage or pruning that you do. We talk about pruning dosage. That is the amount of foliage that you're removing, say 10% or 20% or 30%. Well, we start reducing the dosage of pruning. You can still prune, just don't prune so much at a time. And as we were saying, as the temperatures increase, reduce that pruning dosage on your deciduous and more sensitive plants like your citrus. Is there a plant that we recommend pruning in summer? Yes. We recommend pruning your mesquites in the summer. And why is that? Because they're extremely vigorous. They can respond to that pruning. But we also incur, if you're only pruning your trees maybe once a year, which we quite often are in our commercial services we provide, we want to allow those very vigorous trees to put on their spring growth. And then we'll prune them at the end of that big spring push so that they'll hold their pruning for more of the calendar year. So we usually encourage pruning our mesquites in late May, early June, before the monsoon. And that's give you a it's a good timing for those.